Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, good afternoon, and welcome to Bigfoot and Company. This is Dr. John Stamey at the control panel, and we got a great show lined up today. First of all, my co-host and good buddy, Matthew Delf. How are you doing today?
Buddy, it's Monday.
It's Monday, all day. You got it. People will be able to listen to this all week, which is great. Glad to have you on there. And we were talking a little bit before this show started, and I just saw this nutcase of a headline come through: Space Stunner, Moon is Shrinking, Shocking Study Reveals. I mean, what's shocking that the moon's shrinking? I mean, as far as I know, it's hollow, and it's about 10,000 years old, but that's just me. Thanks to Penetration, the book by Ingo Swann. So you can make your own decision, but I'll post this up on Bigfoot Company as we're speaking.
Now,
and lots of great night. Yes, Matt, what were you going to say?
Now doesn't the moon get a little bit farther away from the Earth every year? I think it keeps getting farther away. I'm not positive, but I think so.
I don't think we really know anything. All we know is what NASA tells us, and that is about as accurate as Cartoon Network.
Exactly.
It's like Ren and Stimpy reruns. You know, come on.
Yep.
It really is. So just yeah, and you can quote me if the men in black are listening. You can quote me. To the head of NASA is listening to NASA is like listening to Ren and Stimpy reruns, and it's about as unexciting. But anyway, that's all right. It's good to have. We got a slam dunk home run cool guest today. Oh, never mind. Bigfoot couldn't be here. No, we've got Michael Harrell. We're so glad to have you, Michael. It's great to have you here on Bigfoot and Company. We got to know you a little bit at the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. Hi, Matthew and Dr. John. What's going on with you guys? I mean, you're flying saucer people. You're always moving around, zooming here and there.
No, that's Angelia. That's Angelia. She's always zooming around. No, let's see. Oh, Matt, you tell him what's up with you, and then I'll tell him what's up with me. I've got some kind of exciting info. So tell us, Matthew, what's up with you today and this weekend?
Well, I've been last weekend I spoke at the Harlan Bicentennial. It was a pretty good event. They had talked about the history of Kentucky and the past, and I kind of got into the Bigfoot talk with the past, with the past history, stuff like that. And then this week I'll be going back to Georgia, and I'll be doing an expedition towards the last end of the week. I'm pretty excited about that. And then hopefully get some, you know, good work in and have some good interaction. But other than that, mostly work, and then trying to find time to get all these reports and sightings and go and investigate and talk to different people and different views. It's busy, 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 busy lifestyle.
I certainly understand it. Well, that's great. Sounds like a lot of fun. All right, to answer what I'm doing, last night I had probably one of the most interesting interviews I have ever had. Do you guys know anything about the skeleton saint or Santa Muerta?
No.
Is that a Mexican thing?
Yeah, yes, it is. It's a Mexican folk saint. And I had one of the two world experts on. We were talking. We were introduced by Kip Ramey from Athens, Georgia. And I was talking with David Metcalf. And I said, David, just stop this conversation right now. I've got to hook this up. We've got to do an interview. This is the most interesting stuff I've ever heard. And we talked for an hour and a half about Santa Muerta and free will and change and the narco mob and narco satanic rites And, I mean, it was absolutely fascinating. And David's going to be with me hopefully in about a week. I want to keep doing some more of these with him and find out about this. This is something that people really need to know what's going on. But Santa Muerta is, get this right, is a folk saint in Mexico. And those that pray to Santa Muerta, she is a bit like an amplifier of prayers. But you better be careful what you ask for, because you may receive it and all hell will break loose if what you ask for is not good. And I think it's a very interesting situation. So I got to thank David for last night's interview, one of the most intellectually challenging hour and a half I've ever had. And so everybody take a listen to it, scarycast.com. We're going to have another one next week. He doesn't know it, but I'm going to get it back on because it was too much fun. So, yeah, we had that, and we're just working on things and all that. So, Michael, I'm going to turn the tables on you. What are you up to, and what are you doing? Because you do some really neat things. I know you did some great camera work and interviews at the Georgia Bigfoot Conference.
Yeah, I had a really, really nice talk and a really nice heart connection with Pat and Robin McCray. And they just kind of blew my mind. I mean, I actually learned some things from them about MindSpeak and how they live with Sasquatch on a daily basis and how Sasquatch helps them with healing and they heal Sasquatch. And it's just pretty, revelatory, you know, revealed a lot. So that was them, and then you ever heard of the Bigfoot Odyssey channel? Bigfoot Odyssey?
So he
interviewed this guy named Barry Webster. Barry Webster is from the Rez Squatching. I don't remember, was it out in Oklahoma someplace? I don't remember what that was. But so this guy Barry has been hanging out with, he's got a whole team, and he's been hanging out with the Sasquatch people, and his team have been out there for like 10 years. And then not too long ago, I didn't say about which year it was, but he actually stood in front of the Sasquatch, called him out, and said he wanted to shake hands with him. And so it's a long story, you'd have to watch the video, but So the Sasquatch appeared. It was at night, but the Sasquatch appeared in a cloak form. You know, it was 8 foot tall, and you know, he's talking about all the stuff that he went through. And then, they were both kind of looking at each other over. And then the Sasquatch stuck out his hand, and it was like this invisible hand, but he could kind of see it, right? And then, before he took the Sasquatch hand, he had like 8 people standing around saying, "Can you see this? Can you see this?" And he didn't want to take his eyes off what was going on. So this big, big, invisible, translucent-looking Sasquatch shook hands with him, and that just blew my mind. This guy Barry Webster, he's this full-blooded Indian, and he's a real religious guy. So one of the things that his whole Sasquatch group, the Red Sasquatching, what they do is they pray up. You know, they pray up in the morning or over the food, and then and when they go out to the location, they do, more rituals and prayers. They've been doing that for like 10 years, and so there's like a real heartfelt kind of connection there, connection between God and Sasquatch and stuff like that. So I made friends with him this week, and hopefully I'm going to be able to do a talk with him because we have a lot of things in common. And the reason why this touched me so much is because I have had a Sasquatch do that to me. It's not that I have had an invisible Sasquatch shake my hand, but I've had an invisible Sasquatch stick his hand inside my heart. And I'll say that again. An invisible Sasquatch stuck his hand inside my heart and held onto my heart and took over my breathing. And what he did is actually initiated me into a Sasquatch meditation, which is what they call heart light meditation. So that was an experience that he and I had on common when I talked to him on the phone. it was like we're both kind of like really touched by this having the same kind of experience. Well, I don't know, a lot of people having these like really powerful experiences, you know, that are not, they're not threatening. They're kind of on the spiritual nature. You know, my friend of mine, Brian Bland, he wrote a book about stick glyphs, and he just had some real powerful experiences this weekend with Sasquatch leaving him special glyphs and communicating with him. He went out for 2 weeks in the woods, so that was pretty cool. So, today I was thinking. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I
was going to say, kind of explain to the people what you're talking about, because, okay, the Indians, there's two types of people. They believe in, you know, the flesh and blood, and then there's the types of the spiritual, the, you know, kind of like the woo, as they call it. Explain to them the woo side, the spiritual. Because I know you're real strong with that.
Well, here,
yes.
Well,
explain to them.
I can explain iShine. I can explain, and I can explain MindSpeak. Okay. And I can explain how the Sasquatch do it, and they do it because they're very high beings. So to preface this. The way that I understand it is because I've had these experiences myself as a human. Now, I believe with all things that everybody believes, I'm very inclusive. So people who think that Sasquatch is just flesh and blood, that's fine. They can believe that. And people who think they're kind of retarded or something with special abilities, that's fine. All those things are fine. But for me, I have to go by my reference of what I've experienced. And to do that, I have to go back to when I was in my 20s. When I was in my 20s, I met an enlightened man. And I don't know if anybody even knows what an enlightened man is, but this is a man who's filled with light. Actual light from God comes in, came into the top of this guy's head, and never left. So he had light inside of him, and he was what you call an enlightened man. I had no idea what this was when I was in my 20s, 21, 22. So I was hanging out with him, and I was fascinated by what he was saying, and he was talking about all this stuff. And I ended up hanging out with this guy, this enlightened man, for about 6 hours, all afternoon and into the evening. And then I dropped him off at some friend's house. So he was driving around in my car. We were just talking about life and stuff, and he was just telling me stuff. And I thought, so, you know, I met this guy in Coconut Grove, Florida, and I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. Then it was just like on a Sunday. And then on Monday, I had a 1965 Galaxy 500 convertible. It was like a nice old car, as big as a tank. And the transmission just got redone. And then so here was on Monday, my transmission started slipping in first gear. So I nursed it back to the transmission shop and said, hey, what's going on with this thing? And the guy said, I don't know. We just fixed that thing. Should be brand new. So then he gave me a ride to the house, and then he called me later on in the afternoon and said, man, I don't know what happened to your damn transmission, but every single seal in your transmission got blown out. They said, we put it all back together. It should be good to go. So I said, all right. And so I still didn't understand what that was. But later on, I realized that the guy's spiritual pressure, the amount of energy this guy had, you know how like when Sasquatch or something, they talk about how they're, your phone goes dead or the batteries go dead, that's the same kind of spiritual pressure this guy had, except he just blew out the whole transmission in my car. So that was on Monday, got my car going on the road, and I was going to junior college, and my first class was like about 9 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday. So I'm driving out to the junior college, you know, and listening to the radio and just chilling. I wasn't really thinking about the enlightened guy or anything, right? About being in the presence of this God-realized man. It was like just became just something that whatever it was. So as I'm driving, I'm about two miles or 3 miles away from the junior college, and I start hearing people speak inside my head. I'm going, what the heck is this, you know? So I roll up the windows of the car so I couldn't have any when it sure wasn't coming from the outside. They were still speaking in my head. When I got closer to the college, turned off the radio, and they got the speaking got louder, and I pulled into the parking lot and turned off the car, and I could still hear these people speaking in my head. I'm going, wow, what, this is the strangest thing. You know, I thought it was maybe there was some kind of radio transmission. I didn't know what it was. Then I walked from the parking lot up to along the side of the classrooms in the college, and went around the corner. And when I went around the corner, I looked into the front wall of the library. It was all glass, so I looked in there. And when I looked in there, what I saw was all these people were sitting on tables reading books. And what I was hearing was those people were reading books out loud in their head. And I could hear what they were reading, what they were saying in their head, I could hear them. You guys got that whole picture now?
Yeah, that's mind speak. When you're hearing, it's like hearing a recording, but it's real.
It's real. I could watch the guys. I could pick out the people. I could actually pick out the people who were with the different voices, because it was all the tables where you could read was in the front of the library and the books were in the back. I could pick out the actual people of what they were reading and what the book was and stuff. So I thought that now my mind's completely blown, and I understood that it was because I spent that day with this guy who was enlightened. He was a very high spiritual being. And he didn't do anything to me. I was just sitting next to him, and within 4 feet of him, for 6 hours, and that elevated me enough to be able to to hear mind speak of other people. Okay, and then I was like, I was getting around my friends, right? I got around my friends, and I said, hey, this happened to me, and I look, and I'm hearing this mind speak stuff, and I was all excited, and then. Then this one guy that I knew, I got close to him. And when I got close to him, I saw his whole life flash before my eyes, from the birth to childhood, on through up to his teenage years, up to where he was now, to where he was then, and then all the way down until he got married, all the stuff that happened to him, and all the way to his death. I saw his whole life, okay? Those two experiences, one hearing people's voices from miles away, and number two, seeing everybody's life, seeing their life from beginning to end. These are spiritual experiences. I found out later, okay? I found out later that all the enlightened masters, these people like the godmen of India, they can do this. That's called a siddha, whatever it is. It's like a spiritual gift or a spiritual power. So anyway, that put me on the track. That put me on the track of so that's mind speak, okay? That's mind speak. And there's the other thing. Whenever you hear the stories about the Sasquatch walking around the tents at night, right? You ever heard of that, when they walk around people's tents at night and they kind of like mess with them and stuff? Well, what those Sasquatch are actually doing is they can actually read that person's whole life from beginning to end. Yeah. Just by being within 4 feet of them, they can see what kind of a person they are. So that's pretty cool. Okay, well, anyway, this set me on the path of, like, I want to get some of this enlightenment stuff. I didn't even know what it was, but I knew that, I'd have to look around and try to find some other enlightened men, because this guy was just a random person that I met in the park. So later on that year, I ran into this advertisement that said that there was a man going to be speaking at the community center, and his name was Sri Chinmoy. And Sri Chinmoy was an enlightened man. They said he was an enlightened man, and he was going to go give a demonstration or give a talk. And so I talked one of my buddies into coming with me. And so we go to this thing. It was sort of in the afternoon, and paid our tickets. We went up there and sat in the balcony. And so it was like sort of like a big movie theater. You just kind of sit up in the back. And it was about half the auditorium, half the stadium, whatever it was, the hall was full. So there was no music, no anything. Nobody did any introduction, nothing. It's just this guy was sitting on the stage in a chair. and they turned the whole lights down on the hall, and then had like a little small light on him. So it was, so we were all basically pretty much in the dark, and this guy started looking at all the people, and we were kind of off to his left, which he would be the yeah to his left, and so he was looking at all the people one by one, going back each row, each row, each row, each row. So eventually he scanned the whole audience, and he got over to us, right, when he got over to me. And when he got over to me, I could see light coming out of this guy's eyes. And that was his teaching. He was saying, I am full of light, and that's what it, this is what happens when you become enlightened. You actually have light inside of you. And then the light coming out of his eyes, and what that light was the light of God, the light of life. And that kind of blew my mind. That imprinted onto my soul from then to now. That's why I remember it so much now. So there you have it. A very enlightened man, just by being in his presence, I was able to have light, mind speak. And that mind speak for me lasted for about 3 weeks. It got less and less each day, but I could still do it. Then the second guy, this guy Sri Chinmoy, when you are a very high, powerful spiritual being, you can actually have light coming out of your eyes. And so that there's eye shine and mind speak. And so what would this kind of tend you to believe, that the Sasquatch people are pretty high people? Okay, then the next thing that they would talk about is I searched around and found an actual guru. And what a guru can do is they take their spiritual connection to God, which is a vibration, and it is an energy. So it's basically an energy of God's light. And they can transfer that energy to you, so that it's sort of like taking your, it's like taking a radio. Imagine your whole body is a radio, and they tune it to a certain station, and in that station is where the light comes into you. And that's what a guru does. They dispel the darkness and reveal the light. That's what guru means. So I found myself this really, like a world famous kind of a guru, and sure enough, after, listening to him and being around his people, I received what they call the knowledge of God. And then I would meditate, and then I meditated a whole lot because that's all I could do. I wasn't a very smart person, so I thought maybe I better meditate and get something done in my life. And then I got this enlightenment, this light inside of me, which is bliss and truth and all this kind of stuff. So all the things that you can hear about invisibility and all the miracles that these enlightenment have done in the past, that is because of the light that's inside them. And so that's kind of one of the things I wanted to talk about, is that the Sasquatch have that same kind of power. And I was initiated, the guy who initiated me, I'm not going to say his name because I'm not here selling gurus, but the guy who initiated me, he wore the Krishna crown. That means he was one of the highest people on the planet, and in terms of humans, right? And he had thousands and thousands of followers. And that means he gave the light of God to thousands and thousands of people. That's what a guru does. Now this is the Eastern culture from India. We don't have that over here in America. So people don't even know what enlightenment is. They don't know that if you meditate, you can become enlightened. However, it's called an initiation. You're initiated into this energy. It's an energy transfer from the master to the student, from the guru to the devotee. And that energy transfer is the guru's spiritual pressure, his knowledge. Okay? Now, fast forward, go back to the Barry Webster and the Rez Sasquatching and him shaking hands with an invisible cloak elder Sasquatch after 10 years. That's why it blew my mind so much, because I've had a Sasquatch come to me and show me how to go invisible. So what do we have?
Wow.
Now we have, wow, yeah. And it's the same. It's the same thing. So what do we have now? We have how they can read your soul, right? They can read your soul, and they know who you are. If they get close to you, they know who you are. Mind speak. I was 2 miles away, so that means if you're, you know, 2 miles away from your Sasquatch in place, and you start talking in your head, and you start planning on your day of how you're going to go see Sasquatch. There's one of those sentinels there. They know exactly what you're saying, when you're going to be there. They know the whole thing. There's no hiding from that. Okay. Then, how to go invisible? Well, so actually, maybe I should back up and talk about how I got introduced to Sasquatch. There was this guy back in around 2010, 2012. His name was Thomas Hughes. And Thomas Hughes was kind of like, you know, he was one of the first people who was on the internet talking about, you know, Sasquatch. And he had a radio program like you guys have. And he was, I think he's like half Indian or three quarters Indian. And he's out of Houston, Texas. And he would tell this story about how, you know, he would talk to plants and he'd talk to his trees and stuff. And then he would be talking to the Sasquatch people, and the Sasquatch people approached him, and they gave him like a mind speak thing because they were living on the property that he was living on. And so he had a radio show and all this kind of stuff. And so I got to know him on Facebook, and I called him up, and I was fascinated. I was not fascinated at all about Sasquatch. I was like, well, that just seemed like, okay, that's kind of cool. That's kind of romantic. It's something kind of fun to think about. But I was thinking about, where is this guy's head at? What was this guy thinking that he could talk to a plant or he could talk to the tree? You know? And then later on, he talks to Sasquatch. I thought, what kind of an understanding is that? So I called him up and I just talked to him, you know, and we kind of became friends. And I said, how did all this stuff happen and all this kind of stuff? And he was telling me, he said, well, you know, if you want to talk to the Sasquatch people, you just go out in your front yard and talk to them as if they're standing right next to you. So with that, that was not very much information, but that's exactly what I did. I went out.
Michael, that is a gigantic piece of information. That is how it works. We were talking, when you finish your story, I want to tell you a corroborative story that we talked about last night about Santa Muerta. And this is exactly, it's like in your head, not vocally, but in your head talk, correct?
Yeah, well, you could do it outside or in your head. It doesn't matter. Does it? Because the one of the main topics of what I'm speaking about now is what the Sasquatch teaching is all about and where they're headed. And that is the all one and no space, and what those two things mean. In other words, all one is like the American Indian idea of the web of life, where the tree and the sky and the rain and the water and the earth and the animals, they're all part of the web of life, and we are all one with it. So that's the all one. And the other one is no space. And no space is where mind speak comes from. So I'm going out in front of my yard, and I'm just saying, hi, Sasquatch, you know, I want to be friends. How are you guys doing? You know, and I kind of keep it pretty short, but I did it every day for about a week or two. And then, not really much happened. And another week went by, and I was doing a little bit less and, you know, kind of lost interest in it. But I still did it, so that means I did it for like 1 week every day and then a little bit less the next week. And then sometime during that second week, and I think this was in 2012 in December, because I remember it because everybody was talking a big deal about December 12th or December 21st or something, 2012. It was a big deal back then. So here I am asleep at night, right? And I'm not one of those people who dream. So some people are like big dreamers. They remember everything. It's all dramatic and fantastic. I dream like a rock. I mean, my dream is a black fog. And you know, that's I don't know if you know about that. There's just nothing. I don't dream much. But I had this dream, right? And these two American Indian guys, they were like it took me a while to understand that they were American Indians because they looked like Mexicans and they were wearing blue jeans and cowboy hat, and they're kind of short fellas. They come and take me out of my dream, right? Next thing I know, I'm zooming off from at the time I was in Florida. So I went zooming off. What do you call it? To the Midwest. And so, you know, this is like, you know, the red mountains and big rocks and stuff and desert. And these two American Indian guys just looked at me and they said, sit on this rock and talk to that rock. And by then I figured out something was going on because this is more real than a dream, you know. And I figured, well, if these guys are going to take me from Florida all the way to some place in Mexico or Nevada or someplace, I'm better just go along with it. So I sat down and started talking to this rock. And the rock looked at the rock just kind of put his attention on me and said, I'm a rock god. And I just sort of took that in and going, well, this is a dream. You know, you can do whatever you want in a dream. So I said, okay, how you doing? And then that rock began to talk to me about how water and rock make life. Yeah. And it just kept going on and on. I talked about how the earth was formed and from the rock's point of view and how water and rock work together. And whenever water and rock get together, it makes like little living things, like little plants and little animals are created out of the water and the rock. And then those little animals and little plants and things, they as soon as they make life, they make more water and rock. And this went on for like 3 hours, and it ended up with them saying, inside a human being, the water is the water is our blood, and the rock is our bones and our teeth, you know. And then inside of our bones is what makes the water. So we are made from water and rock. So that was like, okay, that I kind of figured out that wasn't a dream. That was like one of those shaman things that the Indians do. And but the thing about the rock saying, I'm a rock god. I'm a god. I'm the god rock, right? He was saying that for a purpose. It was like a teaching. And the teaching was, it took me a while, maybe a year or two to figure it out. The teaching was that a rock can talk. If a rock can talk, that means this whole universe can talk. If you're lined up with, so you can talk to a mountain, you could talk, if you could talk to a rock and a rock talk back to you, then there's, you know what I mean, there's no reason why you couldn't talk to everything. You can talk to the air, you can talk to the sun, you can talk to the earth, you can talk to the water. You see what I'm saying? That was the teaching. And then I looked back and I realized that this experience that I knew was from the Sasquatch people, was the answer to my question that I had about Thomas Hughes. What kind of a state can you be in? What kind of a mindset can you be in to be able to talk to a plant or talk to the Sasquatch in your head and have them talk back to you? So to me, it's like this is how my experience has been going on with Sasquatch from the day one, from 2012.
That's a good explanation. Like that, people say scientifically, you know, it's not possible, but they're wrong. Scientifically, everything is energy. Everything is energy. You can take a glass of water and talk trash to it, and a glass of water and talk good things to it. And they've done it before, and they put it under a microscope, and the glass of water that was talked to good looked like a beautiful snowflake, and the other one that they talked trash to was like a glob of just junk. And everything,
it was a
the water, rocks, everything, right. Yeah.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, and that's the whole point. And I mean, you know, I got to yell at you, Michael. You didn't start telling me any of this when we started talking a while back on Facebook, or we would have talked for hours about this, because this is very fundamental to when I was at the Ryan Research Institute. This is very fundamental about it's about water. It's really about water. Now, it's probably about rocks, too. We got to figure this out. I mean, they've already got it figured out. But we have to, too. And this is absolutely astonishing and wonderful to hear you talk about this.
And it's exactly what the American Indian has been saying to dumb white people for I don't know how long. You know, it's a web of life, and everything is our brother, and we are all one, and all that kind of stuff. So the main thing that the Sasquatch really kind of want to teach us is about mind speak, and about which is the all one. The reason why they can have conversations around the world, or from person to person, and even from generation to generation, is because they have this all one connection. And that's pretty profound. Okay, well, look at me. So this was 2012. I just wanted to throw that in. That was my first connection to Sasquatch, right? And let me say, back up and say, I am not a researcher. I never wanted to be a researcher. I don't want to be a researcher. That has nothing to do with what I want. I was kind of into, like I said, I have a really big spiritual foot. I had God realization, you know what I mean? Because I meditated for like 12 or 13 years, and in the beginning I was meditating 6 hours a day, so I was like hardcore. So, you know, things like Sasquatch and talking to rocks and stuff, that's too much of a stretch for me. You know what I mean? And it wasn't like something that made me burn with, like, I want to know about this, because I already know about all kind of other things. But it was like, at the same time, it was heart-touching and uplifting, and just felt good, like, you know, when somebody really likes you. So anyway, around this time, I also had my first contact with the ETs, which is kind of part of what I wanted to bring in here. I had my first contact with the ETs it was 2012. It was at the beginning of 2013. I started waking up and sitting in my shorts and looking and playing on the internet. I looked down at my leg and there's these little tiny handprints, little fingerprints on my leg. And I'm going, what the hell is this? You know what? You go through all the whole steps of what is it that could make a mark on your leg? Because it happened two or three times. And then I figured out it was the ET people. You know, I looked it up on the internet and got deep into the whole ET phenomena thing and what was going on with that. And the next time one of those little guys. So they've been taking me. And I think they took my son too. They've been taking me for, you know, I don't know how long, months or years. I don't know how long they've been taking me. And whatever it was that had to do with, like, my upper thigh near my crotch, and I'm going, well, that doesn't feel right. The next time they took me, right, because this is like in the 70s and 80s when I did my whole enlightenment thing, and here it is in the 2012. So there was a lot of time where I wasn't so enlightened. I was just kind of being a normal person. But I wake up on this craft, right? I wake up and I'm surrounded by these little gray guys, and I was like pissed off. I'm going, these are the guys who come up and who take me out of my bed at night and block my memory, so I don't know nothing about it. And here I am, you know, they put their hands all over me, and God knows what they're doing, right? So I was pissed off. And then when I regained sort of my conscious state, the first thing I understood was that in order for them to do that, they had to be in psychic contact with me. They had to have, you know, that's how people get abducted. They put you to sleep and they take you out of your body, or they take you with your body. Listen to this. They take you with your body through your walls, out through the roof, through another dimension and into a craft or into a location, and then they do their stuff, and then they take you from a physical form, turn you invisible, put you through the walls, through the ceiling, and put you back in your bed. That's how it goes. You understand? This is, I want to tie this in your mind, tie this into what the Sasquatch are being able to go invisible. We're going to be talking, I'm kind of working my way up to that next, you know? So the ET people have been taking millions, literally millions of people, making them go invisible, and then taking them on their craft and doing what they do. Some of them are teaching them, and some of them do this some kind of a cloning thing, and some of them do health things. But anyway, this last time that I was with these little gray guys, I was pissed off. So I used my mind, and I looked at them. And when I looked at them, I immediately in my mind imagined them being on fire inside their body. imagine their fire being on inside their body. These guys jumped and started scurrying around like cats being chased by a dog. And so because they had to have a psychic connection to me in order to keep me under control. And when I started transmitting my psychic, whatever it was, my rage, my anger, and seeing them burn on fire, and then I would lose my concentration on that, and I imagined them being crawled all over with fire ants stinging them, and I would imagine them stinging them, and I would try to imitate the feeling of being stung by fire ants, and they're so needless to say, they tried to get me off that craft so damn fast, but then I started fighting them. I was like holding onto the door. I didn't want to go because I wanted to let them guys have a little bit of taste of what it's like to be messed with. So that was that. But then that got me onto what do you call it? So now I have Sasquatch on one hand, and I got these ET things going on the other hand. And this, like I said, this is 2013. And 2014, I had a really nice encounter with some different kind of ETs. I think they're Assyrians or something. And I was on a craft there for like 6 hours. And so one of the things I wanted to talk about was the connection between what the Sasquatch people are doing and what the ET people are doing. And because I have done a lot of research on what the ET people are doing, and I've been following that for a while, and it just so happened that down the street from where I was staying, not down the street, for about 5 miles away, was this guy, Ray Hernandez. And Ray Hernandez, he got taken out of his car, and the ET people took him, and he was driving along the highway, and the ET people took him and said, here, we want you to see the connection between psychic abilities, between mind speak, telepathy, out of body experience. We want you to see the connection between that and the people who've had near death experience, the people who are channels, the people who have remote viewing. And so, you know, here's this guy. He's a lawyer. he's a Cuban lawyer in Miami, and he's having this experience while he's driving his damn car. But as it was, this was like his second or third contact with the ET people. He was given a task to do to find out what is the connection between all this woo. Remember now, woo, and everything is woo is what the researchers talk about. But the ETs wanted him to research that and learn about that. So he calls up his friend this was the second time he had like a really big encounter. He calls up his friend Mary Rodwell in Australia. Mary Rodwell's a big researcher. And she says, oh yeah, well, you're going to have to respond. The ETs have given you a task to do. And then she gave him a number to call this guy, Dr. Rudy Shields. Now Dr. Rudy Shields, you guys heard about black holes and that guy, who's that guy who was the big black hole guy who was sitting in the wheelchair? What's his name? You know him?
Stephen Hawking. Yeah.
Stephen Hawking, right. So yep. Dr. Rudy Shields out of Harvard, astrophysicist out of Harvard, and Stephen Hawking had this thing back and forth for about 4 or 5 years. And finally, Stephen Hawking says, and Dr. Rudy Shields is the leading expert on black holes now in the world. And Stephen Hawking had to back down and says there is no such thing as black holes. And his whole thing about black holes and the whole science behind that just kind of basically went to the bin. And that went over to it's like an energy vortex of consciousness and stuff. So that and this is who this guy is that Mary Rodwell had Ray Hernandez call and so Dr. Rudy Shields says, oh, this sounds great. I got a mentor I'm going to have you talk to, and we're going to be behind you 100% if you come up with something. Because he understood that the ETs had given Ray Hernandez a task to do, and that means the ETs were going to be behind him. So this is the same day that he had this experience with being taken out of the craft, right? And then the next day, he gets a call from Dr. Edgar Mitchell, the astronaut who went to the moon, right? So now that was the foundation for research into extraterrestrial encounters, which was Mary Rockwell, Ray Hernandez, and Dr. Edgar Mitchell and Dr. Rudy Shields, the astrophysicist from Harvard. Okay, and then he came up with the idea that they're going to do a survey, an academic survey on the people who are contacted, and what happens to them, and all this kind of stuff. So they started putting together this whole academic team. And now I'm friends with this guy, right? And he's living down the street from me. We're talking on the phone back and forth. So now I'm getting the whole history of the academic research into what's going on with the ET people and what happens when you get abducted. And so they did this whole worldwide campaign that is still kind of going on, where they did a survey of what happens to you when you what happens to you when you when you get abducted, and what's the lasting stuff. So it's like, for example, number one, it's positive. The overwhelming number of contact experiences were mainly positive, between 85% and 90%, depending on the questions asked. They did this survey. It started off with around 3,000 people, and they had 600 questions in three phases. And this is a serious, hardcore academic survey on what's going on with people being taken by the ET people. Okay, and another one. Number two would be it's paranormal, not physical. That is, the majority of contact that people have, which this happens to actually both with Sasquatch and with ET, is overwhelmingly not physical or material. It's a phenomenon instead. It's a paranormal psychic phenomena. And there's a lot of stuff about that. And then number three, it's transformative. The contact experience is an overwhelmingly transformative experience for the positive. Over 85% of the people in the free survey participants, now more than, it's like 4,200 people now, have become more loving to other humans, more ecological, less material, more spiritual, do not fear death. And if they didn't have religion, now they have religion, or they became more spiritual. But this is like people's lives are changing, right? And this is what I'm giving you a view of what the world's first academic survey of the people who have had contact with non-human intelligent beings, what the results are. Okay, then number four would be something like this. I'm just giving you a pop ground. This is a huge survey, so I'm just kind of giving you the footnotes here. Okay, number four, space-time contact. Contact involves the manipulation of space and time, and thus, in turn, leads one to hypothesize that non-human intelligence might be or may be multidimensional. This was pointed out more than 40 years ago by Dr. John Vallea, the astronomer and legendary ufologist. So that's kind of an overview. So now this is how I'm coming into the Sasquatch world. I've already got a big understanding of what's going on with people having psychic contact with the ET people, and how their lives transform. Maybe in the beginning, it's really a lot of fear, and they're always traumatized and stuff. But then later on, they start seeing that they're heart is bigger, and they're open to better things, and they feel more love, and they have more influx of energy into their mind. Yeah. So most people who have had contact would like to have the contact keep going, which is astounding. All the fear that they've been saying on the movies and the alien invasions and all that stuff, if people didn't like it, they wouldn't be asking to be taken. They wouldn't be asking for that contact to keep on going. So anyway, that is the To me, one of the messages that I want to overlay onto my little talk here is that the ET people are in control of what's going on planet Earth. we have our free will, but what they want to do is boost people up, give them a, make them more awake, make them have more energy, have more psychic abilities, having these better feelings so that we can make a positive change in the world, right? So they're working on us on the inside, mostly without us knowing it. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
That's certainly an interesting take on things. It really is.
Well, it's academic data now. It's not proof, but it is data.
Well, where is it?
Right.
As a guy with a PhD, I mean, as a guy with a PhD sitting here, the first thing you can do to screw something up is get a bunch of PhDs to do some research. And I hate to say that, but it's about the truth. Yeah, and I'd love to see the data. Where can I see it?
Well, I can get it to you. It's published now. It's not only is it a published paper in something like in Nature magazine, Nature. It's a published review thing now. They also have a book out, like a 800-page book on this. So it ended up being a lot of people involved. It wasn't just the academics, although they did have like a. The statistical analysis was done by an academic team, and the people who put the survey together were the teachers retired academic teachers of how do surveys work, and you know, so they did it all first class. Anyway, the results were kind of interesting. So
yeah,
I'd
absolutely love to see it. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I can get it today if you want. No problem.
Thank
you. Because you know, there's a website and all that kind of stuff. The Dr. Edgar Mitchell Foundation for research into the extraterrestrial encounters. They're pretty much. Anyway, the guy Ray Hernandez, he's all over the internet too. He's a really good speaker, and he's been given a lot of experiences. I try to tell him that the Sasquatch people are like on the same level. But, you know, here's the thing. The ET people and the academics, they don't want to hear about Sasquatch. They don't want to hear it. They got their ET thing and the people from outer space and all these different stories and all these, you know. However, the number of times here's an interesting one, okay. This is one of the reasons why I brought all this up is because there was a survey. One of the questions on the survey was, what kind of beings did you see when you were on the craft? Now, only about out of the original 2,000 people, only about 600 or 700 answered this question, because most people aren't taken in the physical, or they're not conscious while they're, you know, they kind of have to have a regression, or they get their memories back, but they're not conscious during the experience. But these 700 people. Some of the people were, and some of them had been taken their whole life, so they've seen a lot of people. And some of them just been seen a few times. Here's what it broke down to. It broke down to the number one beings that were seen on the craft were, I bet you're not ready for this, but the number one beings seen on the craft were light beings. That is, they were either orbs of light, or they were beings that were just a human shape that was all made out of light. That's number one. Number two, I think, was the human types. And then human types come in every color like we have, plus blue and green. So there were, you know, between 6 and 8 foot tall humans. And that was the number two that was seen on craft. Then the number three that was seen on craft, I think, were the grays. And the grays have several varieties, like Sasquatch have varieties, and some of them are good, some of them bad. There's the small grays, and then there's the tall grays. So that was number three. And I think four and five were the reptilians and the insectoid people. So the number one, it was like 55 or 60% of people saw the light beings. And number two, it was like 50-something percent people saw the humans. And then it went on down. Okay, then it got down to, after those top four or five, it got to the what they called the Sasquatch type. And here's the way it breaks down. 17% of the people who could saw beings on the craft, 17% saw a large, hairy human type. You know, well, they didn't call it Sasquatch because they're academics and they don't say the word Sasquatch. They say the large, human, hairy type. And then 19% saw the small, hairy human type. You know, there's the tall Sasquatch and there's a small Sasquatch. So this came out to like whatever
Cruz,
it was. 30.
Yeah. Jen Cruz talked about those on an episode of Paranormal Down
Under.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, right. They're basically 5 feet and under or 4 feet and under, you know.
4 feet and under is what she talked about, yep.
Yeah, it's under. They're not the big tall ones. So there was the tall. There was, but combined, that means combined that the two, it was something like 37% of the people who've been taken on a craft, right, have seen Sasquatch on the craft as either part of the crew or just a passenger on the craft. And that's a pretty big number, 37%. And then if you add that in to this lady, Barbara Lamb, who's a pretty well-known and established lady who does UFO research and contactee research. She says in South, now this whole survey was North America and Europe, right? They got their 4,200 in South America, I mean North America and Europe. In South America, the numbers are reversed. Were the number one being seen on the craft in South America are the Sasquatch type. And that means it was a Sasquatch UFO, Sasquatch craft, and Sasquatch crew. And that's kind of mind blowing right there. So that's kind of what I was saying about the connection between what the star people are doing and what the Sasquatch people are doing. And it goes back to the all one and no space. It's the idea that we are all one, we're all connected, everything's connected, and that there is no real space between people. This is basically they're saying we need to uplift our energy. So they by being in by those beings, the Sasquatch people and the ET people, by being involved with us, they lift up our energy to a higher level, where mind speak can happen and going invisible can happen and things like that. So there is a connection, and the ETs are really in control because they've been doing this for a long time on Earth, you know, with this interbreeding thing and all that. Any questions yet?
Too many for you to answer.
Yeah. So I was getting ready to say, like with the Sasquatch, though. So, okay, where the Indians, they would talk about the physical form and the spiritual form. Do you think that they're two the same, or do you think they're different?
I think they're the same.
Okay.
I think that they are physical and that they can go invisible.
All right.
And I'm not 100% sure if all of them can do it. Just like we have people who are very good at mind speak, and we have people who are very good at remote viewing and stuff like that, and then other people are not so good. So I don't know. I have no idea what the actual statistics are. However, it's my impression and my fantasy is that they all can do it to, at least to some degree. They all can mind speak to some degree. Because they said that they can contact, that they have a singular mind and a collective mind. You know what I mean? It's just like we have a singular mind,
yeah.
And we just think of ourselves. But they also have this collective mind where when they can go up to that collective mind, then they can connect to all the Sasquatch or all the bears or all the deer or all the humans. You know, that's kind of an ability they have.
Yeah. We're all one, exactly.
Yeah.
And everything is energy.
On that level, on that energetic level. And then, but that doesn't mean you can't be physical, too.
Right. Yep. So what was your So tell us about some of your interactions with the Sasquatch people.
Oh, well, you know, it's nothing to write home about, but I made a video one time about them. And first of all, let me talk about MindSpeak, because I didn't even know that I was having MindSpeak. I've had MindSpeak one time where it's actually a word in my head, and the word was spoken to me was brother. That's it. That's all I've had from 2012 until now, brother. But that one word was enough, you know. I know which side of my bread is buttered. So, but here's the thing. Remote viewing, I listened to this guy who was like one of the originators of remote viewing, and he has his own business. He said, you know, remote viewing isn't remote, and it's not viewing. It's a feeling inside. This is key, right? MindSpeak isn't words spoken in your mind. It is a feeling inside. And every single person who's a researcher and every single person who likes Sasquatch or interested in Sasquatch, they have a feeling inside, you know? If it's a fear of their feeling of being watched, or a feeling that they want to listen to something, or a feeling that they want to know more, that's MindSpeak. The Sasquatch can poke you in your feelings and let you know that, oh, this is going to be good, or we want you to pay attention to this. So I've been having that kind of a feeling, my feelings being poked from the beginning, from day one. And plus, I already know that these guys are really hype. Anybody who can go invisible and talk to you and play jokes with you, they're pretty hype beings. You don't have somebody come into your house and you know. So I was living in this apartment in Miami, Florida, and we're kind of pretty far away from the Everglades or from the woods or anything. There's plenty of woods out in Florida, but we're pretty far away from it. I was in town. And they would come and knock on my door 3 o'clock in the morning, and had tree breaks. I'm in a residential neighborhood, kind of on the edge of a black neighborhood, and you know, big pine tree, you know, with a giant limb just snaps off, and things like that. And one time I had this is not every day. This is over a year, you know, over years. So one time I had a footprint like. The grass in Florida is like this kind of crab grass, and it grows kind of like a carpet grass. And if you step on it, there you can't see the dirt. And, you know, you actually have to pull the grass out of the ground in order to find the dirt, you know, and really pull it. So this guy, my Sasquatch friend, wanted to leave me a footstep. And what he had to do was grind his foot back and forth till he ground through the grass to leave his footprint there. So I thought that was pretty cool. So they were doing something to me about every week, and I was putting some stuff up about the star people, and I was putting, you know, because I was a volunteer for the Dr. Edgar Mitchell Free Foundation. I was volunteer to you know, put up experiencer stories, you know, like collector's experiencer stories. So I was doing that for a while. And then I started running into people who had Sasquatch stories. So I did that for a while too. And whenever I put up a Sasquatch story, you know, they liked that. You know, they poked my feelings, and I could feel them be all excited. Anyway, I was making this one video, and in this video where I was saying that, you know, all you really got to do is just open your heart to them and just go out to your front yard and say, in your mind, or say out loud, I just want to be friends, you know, I want you guys to want to have a relationship, want to be buddies, right? And that's all you really got to do. You don't have to go looking at whatever. And they got excited by that. They liked that. And this Scott Swartz, my friend of mine, was so excited that he went in the next room, and as I was loading this up, right, he was excited when I was editing it, and I got it finished, then I was loading it up onto YouTube. And the minute that exact minute that it loaded up on YouTube and said you can now watch the video, he knocked over a whole box of books, And I got that on video too. I said, knock this, the box of books that he knocked over my house is because he was like excited. Pissed my son off too. But anyway, because it was in my son's room, it's his books. What else have I had happen? Well, this thing about no speak. The thing about the all one and mind speak. One of the reasons why they like me is because I have a long history of being able to calm my mind down, and they would let me know that one of the reasons why they want to stay away from humans is because we're very loud in our mind. We think loud. We project loud and loudly, and they are very meditative. You know, they're more observant and with a still mind. And for them, it's actually painful to be around us. These are some of the understandings that they've given me. It's painful for them to be around people who are, if we're not happy or in our hearts, or if we're just thinking a lot, that bothers them. Yeah. So that's one teaching. And the all one thing is all one, and that everybody kind of knows that, you know, because what is it? Christ said, you know, I and my Father are one, and I and my brother are one, which kind of means we're all one. But this thing about no time, no space. Here's how no space works. Like, I'm sitting here talking on my phone, and I'm looking at my computer, and it's going all the way over to wherever you guys are, and there's a large space between, you know, where you guys are talking and where I'm talking, and then you hear it with your ears. So that's me, space, you. But with Sasquatch, they say it's no space. No space means that they can be inside me and inside you, simultaneously hearing what's being said and done on both sides. That's what no space is. And that's kind of the basis for telepathy and for remote viewing. You know, because when people do remote viewing, well, they're sitting in a room, they're given some number, and they said, oh, here's a number, like, you know, a coordinates or something, or just a number. And then they start getting impressions off that number. And they may be remote viewing something like on the moon, or they could be watching something like they've done archaeology, underwater archaeology, and, you know, stuff like that. So here's this person sitting in a room somewhere in Ohio, and he's looking at someplace in the ocean, or looking at someplace in Egypt, right? And they write all this stuff down. Takes a while. They get all the facts together. Draws it all out. So this guy, he's sitting miles and miles away, beyond time and space, and he's getting the impression of what's happening over there, right? That's no space. That's what it means to be no space. And when you talk about no space, you're also talking about no time. Yeah. So that means the guy who's doing a remote viewing can go backwards in time or forwards in time. That's how remote viewing works. And the other thing about remote viewing is, which I'm using remote viewing, you know, as a substitute for mind speak, because people can research a lot on remote viewing, is that the American, you know, the U.S. Army had it and the intelligence agencies had it, and they did a lot of studies on it. They found out that absolutely everybody that they ever tested could do it to some degree or not. So these are abilities that we all have. And mind speak, like I said, mind speak isn't words in your head. It is feelings in your body, which is what, and so if you get a download of information, you know, or an inspiration, like I want to go out today, or you get pulled, like I want to go to the woods, I feel like I need to go to the woods, that is them poking you in your feelings. So you have to start paying attention to your feelings. And whenever I listen to researchers, those guys are having mind speak. They're having paranormal experiences every 5 minutes. You know, oh, I felt this and I felt that, and you know, and I felt like we should go away, and you know, and all this kind of stuff. That's how it works. And they're the ones who say there is no woo, and they're up to their eyeballs in woo. I think it's funny.
Good point. Good point.
Wow.
Definitely.
So I want to give you a bullet. Go ahead.
Okay.
What are you saying?
I said, great.
Oh, okay. I want to give you guys some bullets. This is my research, and it is not academic. This is just I've done years of watching videos and interviewing people and years of being connected with the Sasquatch people and listening to the different kind of forums, you know, the different kind of groups. And I compiled this list of the things that were the same between the star people and the ET people and the Sasquatch people. Okay? So number one on my list is mind speak. We already kind of went over mind speak, but both the ET people speak by mind and Sasquatch speak by mind. Both Sasquatch and ET people can go invisible, have been reported to go invisible. Okay, and number three, the ET people have been seen as other animals, like owls or other kind of beings, you know. And in other words, they can change your perspective of how you see them. And the Sasquatch have been too. The stories about two people will see a Sasquatch, and the other person will see a dog, and not see a Sasquatch. So that is number three. Number four would be physical healings. The Sasquatch have been reported to do physical healings on humans, and physical healings on humans from the star people is like legendary. All kind of people have had healings from the star people. It's like that's one of the things that they do is they do heal. If they are contacting you throughout your life, you will eventually get a healing of one kind or another or an upgrade. Okay, so then contact. Contact with humans for life. When you are connected to the ET people, it's for life. You know what I mean? It's not just like one time got taken on the craft one time. It's a lifetime kind of a deal. There's a lifetime connection there, and it's the same thing with people who are connected with the Sasquatch people. You have one experience. That experience is for life. There's a connection made there, and they connect for life. And both contact humans in early childhood. So there's stories of children being contacted by the ET people, their special friends and all those kind of stuff, imaginary friends. And there's loads of stories of the Sasquatch people connecting with, you know, with humans when they're, you know, three or four or five years old. So that's in common. Then they both follow a family for several generations, and I don't know if it's not so clear as much in the human Sasquatch relationship, but definitely you know, when you start listening, oh, my grandmother had connections to the Sasquatch people, and my great grandmother or my tribe did. You see, so they can follow a family line, and the same thing with the ET people, they'll go for a family line for several generations. And that's a commonality. So we're up to like eight things that are in common now. Number nine, both breeding between humans and ET or with Sasquatch. So there's stories of Sasquatch breeding with the American Indians and with humans, and the ETs are doing the ET, you know, the hybridization program. So they both have this whole breeding, interbreeding kind of a thing, and which results in an upgraded human. Okay, both change lives for the better. 80% of the people who are experiencing ETs and Sasquatch, about 80% of lives for the better. Some people who are hunters, they stop being hunters. Some people have find their faith, all kind of things for the better. Then there's about 10% of the people who are involved with Sasquatch and with ETs, nothing happens. It's just there's no real change in their life. And here, to be inclusive, both report about people who have made their life worse. About 10% of the people who are connected to the ET people or the Sasquatch people, you know, they got PTSD, and they don't want to go in the woods, and people will leave their houses and all that kind of stuff, you know. So it's 80% good and 10% neutral and 10%, you know, their life changed for the worse. Okay, both have the reaction from people as family. Once you get close to the Sasquatch people, it goes out of research and right into family. And the same thing with the ET people. They say, oh, people right now, there's groups on Facebook. Oh, I'm a Syrian, or I'm an Arcturian, or I'm from the Pleiades. And they feel a family connection to the star people. And so do the people who are close to the Sasquatch people. They feel, this is my family, this is my tribe, and I've been initiated into their family. Yeah, so that's common. That's so number 14 would be, both give information about Earth's history. The Sasquatch people when you get to know them, like they have for me, they've shown me the Earth's history through the eyes of Sasquatch, that they've been with us from the time of Lemuria to Atlantis, to Egypt, to the current time. So they both have that, given the history of Earth and how Earth came to be, they both like have that wisdom keeping. Both the ETs and the Sasquatch talk about taking care of the Earth much better. Yeah, I mean, they're all talking about we're not taking care of the air, we're not taking care of the water, we're out of control, or too much trash everywhere, and clear cutting, and fires, and all that kind of stuff. So, and the ET people are talking about how big changes are coming on Earth, and you know, so that these are the things that they have in common. Both talk about Earth changes and bad times ahead. Both the Sasquatch have talked about how there's bad time coming, and we're not in it yet, but there's supposed to be a bad time coming. And the ET people have been preparing for some kind of a bad time, whether it's some kind of a political world war, or whether it's some kind of a big climate change thing that happens, or some other kind of natural disaster. They both have talked about some dramatic, bad times ahead. Okay, number 17 would be both can walk through walls. I talked to several people who've just said that Sasquatch just walked through the wall. Well, they were in my house, either fully visible or translucent, and then they just walked through the wall. And the same is reported with the ET people. Okay, that's 17. 18 would be both can give the experience of being frozen or loss of control. You know, there's the people who have that, you know, that sleep paralysis, that both can reach inside of a human being and completely take control of their muscles and make them like frozen. So either you're laying down or something, you can't move. You only move your eyes. There's stories about that ability that they both have, the ET and the Sasquatch. So experiencers of both know and feel that they are close around. If you've been connected to the ET people or the Sasquatch people, and that's your main connection, you can feel them when they're close by. And I know that's true. Any of the people who are out squatching a lot, they can just look over, they can just feel it, whether they're around or not. Okay. So, where am I now?
Well,
yeah,
we've already talked about they've both been seen on craft by human.
Hello?
And you've talked about the relationship between the UFOs and the Bigfoot. And so we've only got like 10 minutes left. So Michael,
all right,
why don't you summarize for us, take five of it, and then Matt and I will take a minute or two apiece to do our plugs, and you too. So just give us like the 5-minute summary. What did we need to learn from you today? Because I've enjoyed it totally.
Okay, what you need to learn from me today is there's a bigger picture going on here. The big picture is the evolution of humanity. The ET people want to make the Earth into a galactic outpost. We'll be part of the galactic community. In order to do that, they have to lift up humanity. And they have to have enough people on Earth who can do mind speak so we can translate for the people who come in. We have to have enough translators who are reliable mind speakers who can talk to the ET people so they don't have to have their own translators. And number two, we have to be able to treat all the animals on Earth as our brothers and sisters. In other words, we can't be being freaked out about the different kind of space people coming here. So this is the long-term goal of what's going on here. The ET people want to prepare us to become galactic citizens, and this is a big deal. And in order to do that, we have to love Mother Earth, and the Sasquatch people are going to be our bridge between all of the animals and all of nature, and so that we can see if, because once you can see that the Sasquatch is a high being and a brother, then you can see all the animals on Earth as your brother, as part of the web of life. And that's what makes all the people who are researchers of Sasquatch are real important, because they're adding to this goal of raising the vibration of humanity. And all the people who are into the ET people, they're all playing the same game. And so that's kind of the takeaway thing. And it's a good thing. Overwhelmingly a good thing, what's happening. So that's my little 10-minute synopsis.
That's your 3-minute synopsis, which is wonderful. Hey, that's great. And Matt,
yeah,
I got to say something to you. Thank you so much for getting Michael on here.
You're welcome. I enjoyed it.
You were great on that. Oh, I was blown away. I was sitting here listening, and it was just fueling the fire. So now we know what Matt. What,
I've got so many. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, tell us.
I was going to say, I think we need a part two, because I've got so many questions. I'm sure you do, too. I think we need to have him back if he wants to come back.
Well, here's what I propose. Michael, what we'd like to do, I'm going to take the lead here. We would like to do a special, not just another Monday, but let's come up with a time that works for all three of us. And let's do a special. Those are fun. How does that sound?
Okay, that's fun. You can do anything.
Yeah,
Matt,
great.
How's that?
I haven't got to the part where they showed me how to go invisible. Now I'm riding on their coattails, because I couldn't really do it by myself. But I can tell you,
we're
this is a teaser. I actually got one of my legs to disappear.
Oh, wow.
Let that sink in for a minute. So that would be coming up on the next one, if we ever do a next one.
So here's what we can do. Now, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to be real pedantic here. Now, Matt, you're going to be gone from, what, Wednesday through Sunday, right?
Yes. Yes, I'll be gone. Well, I'll come back Sunday, but I got my daughter's graduation. But Sunday night, I'll be available.
Well, then... Okay, now, Michael, how are you on Sunday night? Like, my magic hour is always 10 o'clock p.m. Would you be available Sunday night at 10 o'clock?
A little late for me, but I could be up for it. Sure.
Or maybe 9. How about 9? How about 9 o'clock p.m.? Okay, all right, Matt, how's 9 o'clock for you for part 2 special episode? How's that?
Yeah, that should be good, because, see, my daughter's graduation's at 4, so that should be plenty of time, 9 o'clock p.m., yeah, perfect.
Good. All right.
Yeah,
okay. And if you're a little bit late joining us, that's fine, because we know she has one graduation, so don't worry about that. All right, then that sounds
two.
Good. Well, no, just
all
one.
Right, my last word is whenever people are now looking at Sasquatch, I want them to look at them as a very high spiritual being and not as some dumb animal. They're very high spiritual beings, you know.
If they have
fleets of craft, you know, that's what it means. If they have fleets of craft in South America, these guys aren't dummies.
No, they're not. No. Not at all. They're great. I have coined a phrase, and our buddy Robin McCray likes it. They are the benevolent forest spirits. They're the ones that are here to help take care of us. And that's the phrase. And by the way, do you know who told me that?
Who?
They did last week.
There you go. I believe that to my soles of my feet. And the way they do it is so kind, because they're not standing in there pointing their finger at you. They just kind of poke your feelings. Feel this. Look at that. Feel that. And then you think it's your idea.
Well, yeah.
They like to
play
from the background.
So here's what we will do. We will not end the show. We will simply reconvene 9 p.m. East, let's say 9:30 Eastern time on Sunday. That gives Matt an extra 30 minutes. How's that? Can we do that?
Sounds great. Yeah, as long as 9:30
p.m. Eastern time, and I'll go ahead and put that up on the website, and I look forward to it. I really do look forward to it. And I'll say, first of all, Michael, thank you. It's been a blast.
Thank you, guys. Listen, a lot of this stuff is great for me to be able to say this, because to tell you the truth, to talk about my spiritual experience is I had it worse than anybody, because, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, you don't walk around saying, oh, I'm enlightened now, I've seen God and stuff. That was, you think it's bad to say you've seen Sasquatch, but if you tell somebody you've seen God, or that you've had God's presence inside you or something like that, you get worse than if, you know, it's like the worst thing you could do, I think. So just to be able to say that in public, I haven't said that in public for like 30 years.
We're glad you could say it on here.
Yes,
Matthew Delf, what do you have to say to wrap up? What's your plug?
Well, this was okay. If any sightings, any information, anything, then find me Facebook, Matthew Delf, Mountain Empire Cryptid Research Organization, or MECRO. And this show right here, I always try and do scientifically, but this right here, it's proven, you can prove it through science with energy, that there's more to it than what everybody thinks. And I want to thank Michael again. I want to thank Michael again, and look forward to talking to you again, Michael.
All right. It was
yep.
a big deal for me. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Thanks. And thank you, Matt. Thank you, Michael. And I'm just glad to be here and riding the helm here on air. And stream left is 3 minutes. So we've done our job in 90 minutes. We've had a great show. Thanks to everybody for listening to Bigfoot and Company. We will be back next Monday.
More to come.
Except Sunday night, we will have a special episode to conclude today's show, meeting Michael Harrell. So thanks, everybody. Have a great couple of days. Matt, have a safe trip out in the woods. We look forward to hearing and talking to everybody next Sunday night. And by the way, Matt, tell your daughter, Mackenzie, congratulations. She is a sweetheart. We're proud of her.
Will do. Will do. I'm proud of her,
all
too.
All right. You know, you better be. But she had a good dad, so that's okay.
Oh, I am.
So, look, I guess she had a good dad. I think I probably said, yeah. Anyway, look, thanks a lot, everybody. We'll see you, all three of us, next Sunday night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern time on Bigfoot and Company. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay.